I was actually adopted. I have a younger sister as well who was adopted also, not from the same family. I just had a hard time kind of grasping the concept of like, why would somebody, you know, as a young person at that age, you really don't understand the workings of the adult world. Mm-hmm. But I was just kind of miffed as like, you know, was I not good enough, or did I not matter enough, or, you know, why would someone, you know, give me away like that? And
welcome back to Now We're Dads. This is episode 17, guys. Thank you for joining us today. I am joined here by a good friend of mine, fellow dad, and someone who's going to tell us about his story. Mark, introduce yourself for the people.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Buxar. In March, I just turned 50, so I'm part of the Half Century Club.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, got some body aches and everything else to go along with that. You know, that fun aging process. But thank you so much for letting me be a part of this, Naz. It's very cool what you're doing. So
awesome. Okay. So how, tell us how many kids you have.
So I have two boys, Trevor and Reese. Trevor is 20 and Reese is 18. So,
you're raising grown men now at this point.
So they're right. So they're roommates. They're still at home with us.
Okay.
But they're trying to find their own way and trying to find their path. And that's daunting sometimes. I know, you know, it's hard starting out and trying to figure out what you want to do with your whole life.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's kind of a struggle sometimes, which I can relate to. So
for sure. What I do know about your kids, obviously I know his sons, I've never met two brothers who are more different from each other.
That's for sure. Yeah, definitely. We got the yin yang going.
Yes.
For sure.
So what are some of the advice you would give to parents who have multiple kids who have such different personalities, different interests?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you just got to try your best to, you know, be there for them and support them no matter what they're involved with. You know, my older son, Trevor, is, you know, really into sports and especially football. And he and I have gotten and do some retro gaming with an old game called Tecmo Bowl. And we've done some out of state tournaments and met some good people through that. And my younger son, Reese, is not really interested in any of that stuff. But, you know, you just got to make an effort. Like two summers ago, I went and took him to Blossom, just he and I, to see Korn and Staind, two bands he really likes. Not particularly my cup of tea, but, you know, hey, I wanted to be a part of what he likes and try and get involved. And you know, because you don't want to feel like you're kind of in sync with one more than the other.
Sure.
So I guess just trying to make an effort just to see what makes them tick, even if it's just, hey, let's go to the movies tonight, or hey, you know, you and I go have, you know, dinner around the corner somewhere to just see what's going on with you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that one-on-one is helpful, especially with. And then they get a sense that, you know, you really care. And because it's harder with, you know, when you got multiple people. And I mean, the family dinners are great, but it just seems like, you know, somebody's talking about this, somebody's talking about that. And this way you just kind of get that that one-on-one where you can just kind of, you know, relate and just be like, what's going on with you? Let's hear about your day. Let's see what, you know, where you're at in your headspace and what's going on with you.
Sure. So. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because over the last couple episodes, we've talked about that, where my co-host Steven, he's raising five kids at this point. One of his advice for people were to give each kid their own individual time with each other.
Absolutely.
And then right after, I got to interview my mom, and she brought up the same point where when I was growing up, she would do the same thing for me and my brother. And I almost forgot about it until she brought it up again.
Yeah.
That gave me lots of memories with just me and my mom one-on-one. he makes more of an effort to kind of be close to her now, talk to her now. It's, I don't ever feel like I'm the odd one out. Like,
right.
She makes right. the big effort between it. Yeah. And
yeah. 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 And that's, you know, and that's all you can do is, you know, a lot of times you just got to come to the realization that they're going to make their own choices out there in the world. And you just arm them with the best knowledge that you can and hope that they make the right choices.
Sure. So do you think that traces back, like, that idea that you have of giving each kid their own one-on-one time? Does that trace back to how you were raised?
Not really so much. I think that's more, you know, my wife Corey's kind of thing, because she was from a big mixed blended family.
Okay.
And she was like dead center, like the middle child. And she really kind of got lost in the shuffle. Like, if you're familiar with the movie, you know, 16 Candles.
Okay.
You know, the 80s movie, 16 Candles.
Yeah, I've seen okay, it well, so long
well,
ago.
Basically, to sum up, Molly Ringwald plays the middle child,
okay.
the middle daughter. And, like, the oldest daughter is getting married. And so all the focus is on that. And she's turning 16 and everybody forgets her birthday. And this actually happened to Corey.
Oh, so devastating.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So I think that was a thing, like, you know, we've got to make a concerted effort to, you know, make that, you know, have that one-on-one time with the kids.
Since it already happened to her, she knows how it feels.
Right. Yes. Exactly. So I think that was kind of, it wasn't something that we sat down and talked about per se, like, oh, we need to do this as parents. It was just kind of happened organically. Like,
okay.
Because it, like you said, to your point, that they're so very different.
Yeah.
My two boys, it was just felt like I was kind of losing my connection with Reese a little bit. And I'm like, what can I do to strengthen that up?
Of course.
So it's like, okay, hey, let's go see a concert together, you and I, or, hey, you and I, let's go have dinner together somewhere, just you and I, or we'll go out to lunch or something, or let's just go for a drive and listen to some tunes and just blow off some steam and just, you know, if you want to vent, if you want to just sit there, that's cool, but let's just be together.
Sure. So. Love to hear that. So I want to take it back a little bit further back and learn more about your past.
Okay.
Tell us about your basic upbringing, how many siblings, and your parents' parenting style.
I was born in 75. So like I said, I just turned 50. So grew up in Lakewood. My parents still live there in the house I grew up in.
Okay.
So they're still there in Lakewood, trying to get them out of that house in Lakewood, but with all the steps and everything, and they're in their 80s.
Too many steps for 80-year-olds.
Yeah, too many steps for a 50-year-old. I don't want to do them when I'm over there. So anyways, but what I digress. We'll get into that later. But I was actually adopted. I have a younger sister as well, who was adopted also, not from the same family.
Okay.
So we are not blood.
Right.
We're both adopted through Catholic Charities.
Okay.
And I was 6 weeks old when I was adopted. My sister was 2 years old. So she's a year younger than me.
Okay.
So I believe I was maybe around 10 when my parents
finally told you
told me what was up, and I just had a hard time kind of grasping the concept of, like,
okay,
you know, like, you know, why would somebody, you know, as a young person at that age, you really don't understand the workings of the adult world.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of miffed as, like, you know, was I not good enough, or did I not matter enough, or, you know, why would someone, you know, give me away like that? And it was always, you know, I had a wonderful childhood. I mean, my parents, I love them to death. I never wanted for anything. I mean, they're wonderful people, and I couldn't have gone to a better place. But, you know, they even said it, like, you always felt like you wanted to know your roots and where you came from. Like, it's kind of hard to explain if you're not adopted. It's just kind of like a hole that's missing. Like, where am I from, and you know, where is my starting point? Where are my roots? I mean, you have these other roots that are, you know, that are very important, but I definitely wanted to know and find out before Corey and I started having kids, because of, you know, family history of what have you, you know, a chance of, you know, genetic disorder or something, okay, something in the family history that would maybe say, hey, maybe we shouldn't have children, or maybe, okay, we should consider adopting as opposed to trying to have our own kids. Okay. You know, that was just something that was always in the back of my mind. Like, I want to be a dad and I want to have a family, but, you know, is there something that might be a hindrance?
Yeah. At what age were you when you actually decided to, I guess, reach out and try to find your,
so
is it, what do you say, birth family or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Birth parents.
Okay.
So what, unfortunately in the state of Ohio, if you were adopted between sometime in the 70s to sometime in the early 90s, there was like a block of time where you had to go and petition a court and open up records. And it was just a giant pain in the ass.
Okay.
So I did look into it and I'm just like, you know what? Whatever.
Okay.
So fast forward a number of years later, we had met our good friend, her oldest son and Trevor were in the same grade. They've been friends ever since kindergarten, and we became good friends with her and her now ex-husband right around that time where we started hanging out quite a bit. Her mother had heard from her adopted sister that she didn't know she had.
Wow.
After many, many years. So the story goes that her parents weren't married, had a child, and they gave that child up for adoption. They stayed together, got married, and then had later.
Oh, okay. So she
thought she was an only child.
Right.
So so her older sister was adopted out, and her adoptive parents had passed away. So at that point, because she didn't want to upset them. So then at that point, she reached out to his mother.
Her biological mom.
Yes, okay. Her biological mother. And and she never told about this at all. And his father had passed away. They are as thick as thieves. I mean, they have a wonderful relationship. I saw that and I was like, if there's any chance that I could have that, mm-hmm, I'm going to go for it. Well, the laws in Ohio had changed, and all you needed to do, and this is some good information for anyone out there that was adopted in Ohio during that time frame, you just need to send like $20 to public records office in Columbus, and they will send you back the information of who your birth parents are.
Seems so, pretty easy.
Yeah, it was. It was very easy. My birth father, I was never able to find.
Okay.
But my birth mother, I was able to find. I wrote her a letter and just explaining who I was and just said, you know, hey, this isn't out of any malice. This isn't about, you know, needling you for money or anything like that. I'm like, look, I have my own life. I have my own stuff going on, but if there's a chance for, you know, we could have a relationship that enriches mine and my family's life, mm-hmm, then I would love to do so.
Of course.
And so after a while, I got a response. I got a response back from her, and then her and I just met. And
recently,
this was probably 5 years ago. Four
okay,
or five years
so
ago?
You've lived a long life without really knowing her then.
Correct.
At what age did you... So this was about 45 you were when you actually
right.
met her.
Right.
When did you actually send that letter out?
Was
it within a year of that time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she it was within a month I heard back from her.
Okay, gotcha.
So all at
45 now, you're learning who your parents
are. With the encouragement of our friend and my buddy at work, he was like, dude, go for it. It's $20.
Yeah.
Go for it. It's not like you got to petition a court and all that mumbo jumbo like before.
Of course.
So it was a snap. So I was able to find her right away. She lives in Brunswick.
Oh, wow.
And
which is, for anyone who doesn't know, how that's probably less than a half hour from
right,
you?
Less than a half hour away.
That's insanely close to think right. that your
so,
mother lives
so
that
we
close.
Had several meetings, just her and I. Then I brought Corey along.
Yes.
For one visit. And then so she brought her
current husband.
Okay. And then we brought the boys, finally. And we've gotten together several times, and we get along fairly well. Now, she does have a daughter. So I have a half-sister okay. who I've not talked to and not met yet.
Okay.
She lives in Chicago. She doesn't come back home very often. And I guess from what my birth mother tells me that she's much closer with her father than she is with her.
Okay.
So I'm certainly open to that conversation, to that meeting, but it hasn't happened yet. So,
okay.
But it's kind of cool that I've got a sibling out there.
That's right. How is you, your wife, your kids have taken to finding out that they have a, because you said your parents, the one you were raised with, are still in your life.
Yeah.
Very much so. So obviously your kids know their grandparents. How have they taken to finding out that they have a new grandparents?
Yeah. Very cool. They took to it very well. We explained it to them, very early on mm-hmm. that, this is what this is. And, it's cool. And, it's just is what it is. And it's just some more nice people in your life.
Awesome.
So
you touched on a little subject earlier about having a little hole like within you that you said that unless you're just adopted, you really wouldn't understand. Because obviously I was not adopted.
Right.
Do you feel like a part of that was filled once you actually did reconnect?
Yeah,
with your mom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just kind of, knowing where you're from and getting some backstory. So, so I did ask her about
your dad,
my birth father.
Yes.
And she has no clue. So the only thing that my adoptive parents told me, and the only thing that they ever learned from Catholic Charities about the adoption, is that both of my birth parents were like 15 when they gave the child up.
Okay.
Gave me up.
Of course.
So they were very, very young. That was the only thing that they had told them.
Okay.
So, so I asked her for some backstory, and she says, well, we got together and she said, once I told him I was pregnant, he got spooked and kind of ran off and I didn't see him. And then you were born and he tried to come around for a hot second. And she was like, well, I haven't seen you for 9 months. Just keep it moving, pal. And yeah. She says, I haven't seen him since. I don't know if he's alive or dead or
okay.
what.
Gotcha.
So,
a little bit tougher to track down. So.
Yeah. So it was a little more of a common name and I didn't come up with anything. I didn't spend a whole lot of time,
of course.
Especially after following up with her. And she was just like, yeah, I don't.
Okay.
So,
well, like you said, you have a little section that was closed off, and
yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, moving forward, at what age did you decide that you actually did want to have kids and then had kids? And what was your life at the time?
Corey and I met, we've known each other since middle school.
Wow.
So we went to the same middle school, and we were in the band together and had a few classes together, and we're friendly enough. I mean, we're just acquaintances more or less, but she was a nice person and, everything. And then she ended up going to Lakewood High School and because we went to Lakewood Public Middle School together.
Okay.
But I decided to go to St. Ed's. So I went to an all boys school, St. Ed's over in
okay.
Lakewood. And, she ended up going to, Lakewood, Public. So, fast forward to the summer before our senior year, so this would have been 1992. I'm working at the Sloan Avenue McDonald's, and Corey rolls in looking for a job, and I was just like, "Damn, somebody grew up." So kind of the rest is history from that point. So I went to a small college in Pennsylvania, Grove City College in Western PA. Right. So I came back home and went to Cleveland State for a year. And I'm just like, I'm really not into this college thing. And I started working at my buddy got me into a steel plant in 1997. And I'm still there. So okay. 28 years later. So Corey and I dated for a while, and
what's a while?
We got married in 03.
Okay.
And we started dating in 92, but
okay. So question, if you're okay with answering, yeah. What took you so long?
I was a little bit, I didn't listen to my parents about some things, but I was, you know, they were old school Catholic and very much like, you know, you can't live together before you get married and all this and all these rules. And I just wasn't ready to get married yet for whatever the reason. I can't really put my finger on it. I mean, hindsight, looking back on it, was so foolish.
Yeah.
But, you know, in other ways, it was just like, you know, I'm not, because Corey and I have talked about this, you know, maybe we wouldn't be married if we would have jumped in earlier on.
Sure.
So we were in our late 20s when we got married.
Right.
And, you know, we were both working, and, you know, that was the next progression that, you know, we both wanted to have kids and start a family. And so we got married in, 03, and, Trevor was born in 04. So,
okay.
And then Reese in 06. So,
I always hear a lot of people around my age who, when I talk about if they want kids, and a lot of people now, it seems like, who do want kids are always telling me that they want them, but they're waiting until they're a bit more financially stable, stuff's more settled in their life. And obviously I did that as well. I didn't have my daughter until I bought my house, until I was in a career that I could trust long term. Mm-hmm. But my mom had me at 19 years old. She was not ready. And to be fair, I never felt like I was even ready, even at that point. It felt like everything in my life was ready to go. And my daughter was planned. It was not an accident. Still, you quickly realized we weren't ready at all.
No.
'Cause it feels like you're never ready.
No. I mean, that's, to me, that's an easy excuse to kind of, you know, kick the can down the road. I mean, okay. You know, and like I said, I was guilty of that. For not getting married sooner.
Okay.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. You're never gonna be prepared for every little thing. I mean, that's just life. I mean, yeah. you just kind of got to roll with it sometimes. I mean, right. You just, you know, you just, you know, the thing, the good part about it is, you know, if you got a solid partner that where you could just feel like it's kind of like us against the world mentality, you okay. know, even if you have help,
right?
But you know, kind of that us versus the world mentality, and that's kind of where we were, because
okay.
Cora wasn't as close with her family, and then they moved to North Carolina, 13 hours away. And my folks were working and very busy social life. So there was not a lot of babysitting options.
Okay.
So, you know, I have some friends of mine that, you know, have parents and in-laws that are very involved with their kids' lives. And I'm just like, I always tell them, thank your lucky stars that you have.
I am one of those guys.
Yeah.
My mom fights me for time with my daughter.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. I mean, that's great because then that helps you, you know, recharge your batteries too.
Yes.
And be your best self for your daughter when she's with you.
When you say us versus them, was it just you guys were alternating schedules pretty much?
Yeah. I mean, for a bulk load a year as I work second shift. So, okay. Corey, once she didn't work for a while, but then when she got out into the workforce, she was working evenings. So she would go in when I got home.
So pretty
and
much.
Then I would have the boys at night. She'd be home with them during the day because, I mean,
you had no one
you
else.
See how, and you see how expensive childcare is. It's like you really got to be making a good buck. Or you're just spinning your wheels. You're just paying for that. And it's like we just came to the conclusion, all right, well, we'll just work around that and have one of us home with the kids all the time.
Right. What do you feel like that did to your guys's time with each other? I know that parenting puts a lot of stress on relationships. In my own relationship, we didn't make it. You know, we ended up splitting up shortly after my daughter was born. And I'm sure there was other issues there that, you know, we've talked to each other about plenty of other stuff. But I do realize that a lot of parents can't spend the time with each other like they used to before having kids. So now that you're working one shift, she's working another for many of years. How did you guys able to keep that union strong to make it to how long have you been married now?
Since 03, so
22 years, to make it 22 years.
It's been a struggle. It really has. I mean, we sacrificed a lot and didn't do a lot because, you know, it was just, you know, Corey was working part-time and I was working full-time, and it was just always a struggle. So in that sense, nothing was given to us, so everything we have is ours.
Yeah.
So it means a little more that way. And, you know, we sacrificed a lot, didn't do as much together as we probably should have. We right. didn't prioritize the time.
And now you guys
together.
Are together.
And now Corey's like, buckle up, pal, because we're not sitting around the house watching TV. We're doing shit.
Okay. So now that the kids are grown, graduated, they're working, they're doing their own things now. What are you and Corey's path on now? What's the new objective now that your kids aren't your number one priority anymore? I mean, they always are, but they can take care of themselves now. What's next?
That remains to be seen. You know, okay. we're trying to figure that out. It's kind of a weird period
okay.
in our life right now. So it's kind of new territory. We're trying to work on that together. You know, there's a lot we're trying to figure out between us. You know, like I mentioned the analogy of, you know, pushing that tire up that hill. It's just like, okay, we got it up there and pushed it down the other side. And it's like you're standing there like, well, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
So
I talked to my mom a lot about when I moved out when I was about 21. And my little brother is like 6 years younger than me. So he moved out when he was 18. He went to the Air Force.
Okay.
And so about three, four years ago now is when my mom finally had that moment to herself of we're gone. I mean, I was down the road and
sure,
but my brother was really gone, right? So now
he's out west, correct?
He is in Guam.
And okay, he was I thought you said he was kind of,
yeah, he was relatively west. Close, but for the last year and a half now he's been in Guam.
Okay.
So we don't see him at all. I'm actually going to be taking a trip to Japan soon to go see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go link up in Japan. Have a great
that's
time
exciting.
Out there. Yeah.
That's exciting.
I always ask her about what are you going to do now that you got no kids in your house? And for her, what she's explained to me that obviously I don't have that problem. My daughter's two. I have a long time before I get there. That it was extremely tough to actually adapt to that new lifestyle of your kids aren't your number one priority anymore. You know, she's told me that she's went to therapy and had to recover. And really what brought her back was my daughter, her grandchild.
Yeah.
It feels like she was always wired to just taking care of her mm-hmm. children and grandchildren.
Yep. So it's a thing.
Do you think you look forward to maybe your kids having kids one day and just starting grandpa life?
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to that. I okay. think that would be great.
Do you think you'd be much more involved than maybe your parents might've been in the past?
I like to hope so.
Yeah.
I like to hope so. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
For sure.
Well, that's the next chapter in this journey then. Well, Mark, it's been great to have you on. I'm happy we've heard a bit of your story here. And I do have one last question to ask you. Us being as dads and me, I'm extremely emotional and sensitive about what I'm doing to inspire or motivate my daughter. Hopefully in the future, she sees some of the things I'm trying to do.
Sure.
Do you think you have any guilt or any regrets that you see in your kids now? Maybe behaviors that they've picked up from you and you wish that you, some of them you're like, I don't know where they got that from, but some other things I'm sure you probably look at like, man, that's me. And that's probably a problem.
Yeah. I didn't finish college and, you know, I kind of had some hopes for Trevor to continue on and he went to Tri-C for a year and he just kind of quit on it like really quickly. And I don't know. I see so much of myself in him.
Yeah.
It's scary. I mean, not just the look of us and you know him. And, I mean, we are spitting images, but it just felt like he just quit on it way too soon. Kind of like I did with college. And I ended up in a decent place, but you know, like I'm trying to explain to him and to a lesser extent Reese, but you know, like you're young, don't let this time pass. Like get into something where, you know, while you're trying to figure out your next move, don't let your middling 20s just waste away. Like I told him, I'm like, you know, trying to get in with the city or the school or something where those years compound and then, okay, you know, you get to a point where, all right, well, I'm here and this isn't so bad. And next thing you know, you got to, you know, you work there 30 years and you're my age and you're getting to retire and you still got some tread left on your tires to do the things you want to do, as opposed to me where I'm going to be probably close to 70 and, you know, beat the hell.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to have anything left to do the things that I want to do when I'm fully retired?
Right.
So, but.
Don't repeat my mistakes.
Right. Right. And, yeah, I mean, hopefully that they'll take one little nugget away from what I tell them. So, you know, of course they're going to find out their own way.
As we and need a lot to of
times, a lot of times it's the hard way that you learn it the way, like, hey, you know, maybe dad wasn't such a fool after all.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I always try and tell him like, look, I've been there. That's why I'm telling you the things I'm telling you. It's not that I want to upset you or make you mad. I'm just telling you how it is and how you can maybe change the narrative from how I did it.
Right.
So
for sure. My mom says the same thing about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sometimes a bit too stubborn, but
sure.
The hard way is the only way to learn it.
Yeah. That there is some truth to that too.
Well, Mark, it's been great to have you on.
Thank you so much.
If you have any final tips for any new dads out there, other than just take let your 20s pass, but
yeah.
Any last little bit of advice?
Just stay involved and be there for them. And even now with them being 20 and 18, I tell them constantly that I love them and how proud I am of them because I think they need to hear that.
All right. Well, Mark.
Sir, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thanks for letting me be a part of this.
Yeah, always. Okay. Always. Maybe we'll have you back on another time and
we'll
hear more about the after kids, how things have been going.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I'd like that.
All right. Well, guys, this has been Now We're Dads. My name is Nazareth.
And I'm Mark.
You guys enjoy the rest of your day.